Okay, the pup's asleep, so let's Instacart. He'll need a collar, some FOOD, oh, and some gear for WALKs. Wow, I can even get doggy shampoo? What a treat. Oh, no, 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 I didn't mean... Okay, fine, I'll cart the treats. When you want to give your new pet the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $35. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And sorry, fellas, I missed my cue. That commercial was coming up, so that was on me. But anyhow, we really have to move on this. We've got to get, and Tom, you need to go on every radio station, every Christian program in the country, and we'll keep promoting it. But
you raise an interesting point that nobody's over actually that I've ever heard anybody really verbalize. You know, the conservatives, the patriots, the Christians. We don't really work well together. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, everybody's going in their own direction.
Exactly. The liberals and those who helped create the mess we're in, they all understand one key principle, and that's this. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And yet, as conservatives and patriots.
That was Joseph Stalin that said that.
Exactly. And they adhere to it. They don't sit back and they don't start critiquing one another and judging everybody. Just if you're enemy of my enemy, your story's good enough to come along with it. We don't have to adapt the falsehoods to that statement. But we do have to understand that we need to fight this battle collectively and together and find the common goods, find the common cause and unite on that. And the differences and the idiosyncrasies, we'll deal with them later. We have got to put the fire out first. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, we know we work together fairly good. In the organizations that I went to, Ohio Pro-Life Action, Tea Party, and most of our organizations, we're pretty much members of all. We work, we do have sometimes different priorities. But I think this, I think we're going to be able to get most all of the pro-family pro-American groups together on this if they can understand just how important it is. Could you give your website out so they can go up on your website and see what I'm holding right here?
You can go to cedarhillcitizens.org and you'll get the Brunson's case the information there. You'll be able to read the Brunson filing. You'll be able to see the amicus brief. You'll see the letter that we've got and other things. You know, it's also very interesting that your Bible study today was and you touched on it. You touched on pedophilia. You touched on satanic ritual abuse. You touched on the sacrifice. You touched on the burning of our children. All of that is central to everything that we're dealing with. And that's actually a topic for another day, but that's how I got drug into this, through the back door, is being exposed to the depths of that deprivation that we're dealing with here in America. This is a satanic attack on our God-given rights, the land that God gave us. And if we don't protect it, if we don't sustain it, we could get swept off our land. We're fighting for our rights.
Well, you know what? I tell you, it's not a matter of getting swept off our land. Our people are dropping dead on the land, in the land. Everywhere you turn. Now, here's Bill Clinton used to have a saying, And he would often say, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? In other words, don't believe what you see. Now, this is what Joe Biden basically is telling us. Look, don't believe what you see. Believe what you're hearing from us. Now, and even the fake news media is having a real hard time pushing this. Joe Biden, and I've been telling people that, now this goes all the way back about when he was vice president in 2008, about the Biden crime cartel. John, you know that.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been telling people, we've been telling people here on this program that the Biden crime family are the gatekeepers for the southern border. Their job is to keep the gates open for the drug dealers, the drug cartels, the human smugglers. And let me tell you something, that money gets back. Large amounts of money go back right into the Biden crime cartel. It's taking place. Now, they're saying, well, yeah, don't believe what your eyes have seen. Don't believe all those thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people that you see crossing the border. Listen to NBC, ABC, or CBS, okay? Now, don't believe all these. So you see some children dying from fentanyl. They're dropping dead from fentanyl. You know, don't believe it's a problem. You know, it's, you know, listen to us. Don't listen to what you see right out in front of you. That's the mindset. And it's all a part. Joe Biden is a major, the Biden crime family, a part, their own lock, stock, and barrel by China, of the globalist depopulation. Look, back in 2080s, we were talking about this. On this radio program, back in the 80s, we were telling you right now that they're moving towards depopulation, the global depopulation. That's what it's all about. That's what all this fentanyl, all these kids are dying. And the distortion, and when you talk about, like you said, you understand, woke is this God that has taken place with Baal or Moloch, is taking the children, is perverting the children, is having, you know, these so-called sex changes, they're not these operations, they're mutilating children, and it's a horrible, horrible thing, and again, it's the very same thing. You know, what God's word, the Bible, talked about the sin of sodomy is a vile sin. It's something that was very, very repulsive to Almighty God. But today, the fake news media and the so-called education system, even Fox News out there, they promote this. It's a wonderful thing that people can accept LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing, you know. There's another preacher out there that says, let God burn them quickly. That's his thing. But you don't understand. God is immutable. God has not changed. God doesn't change. His words, his laws, his standards, they do not change. He gave us the nation, one nation under God, with high standards. And just exactly what you read in 2 Kings, when God told Josiah, this country has turned. They've violated all of my laws. And this is why they were having the problems. This is why we're having the problems today. People, they have violated all of God's laws. It's getting worse and worse every day in this country. You know that Satanism is officially, it's officially, but unwritten, the religion of the Democratic Party now in America.
Yep.
And
human sacrifice. I hate to be this blunt, but human sacrifice is a requirement in that religion.
Absolutely. And again, it's the horrible, horrible America's national sin of abortion. It's a horrible thing. It's a horrible thing. You have people like Janet Yellen, our so-called treasurer. This woman is wicked to the bone. She come out. I heard her say that these women that are pregnant while they're working, instead of taking off work and getting pay for, you know, pregnancy, They should just kill it. Just kill it. Get back to work. She actually said abortion is great for the economy. It's good. And so did Chelsea Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I heard her say, this is evil. I mean, this is evil. You know, how evil can you get?
Yep. It's interesting. I normally wouldn't bring this up. In 2017, I received the divine instruction that I was to go home and write a book. And I wasn't too happy about that assignment. And I got home and I said to heaven, I said, do you realize how much work this is going to be? And then I turned on my personal computer and started looking in my files, and to my surprise, a document or an article that I'd had on my business office computer only somehow was on my personal computer. And it was not only that on my personal computer, it was the most current version of that article, which then became the title of the book that I ended up writing in 18 hours and published in January of 2018. The title of the book is The American Crossroads of Trust. And it's available on Amazon, and I can give you a website that people can go and get a little bit more information on that. So I published the book in 2018, and the efforts to promote the book have gone absolutely nowhere. It's like it hit a stone wall. And one day in frustration, I said, Father, what was the point of all of this? And then the answer came very clearly. The book was never written to be a warning. The book was written to be an explanation of how we got here. And the book begins with the misrepresentations going clear back to World War II. And it covers a great deal of the Clintons. And there's one specific chapter that talks about the connection between Hillary Clinton's emails, John Podesta's emails, the Bundy brothers, that standoff in Nevada, and national monuments. It's all about the corruption and the uranium and the Clinton cartel. In 2019, I was impressed that I needed to add it. The last chapter deals specifically with Hillary Clinton and the election campaign, the Russia collusion hoax, and what happened when Matt Lauer interviewed Hillary Clinton and she lost it. Hillary's last statement is, you fire that man because if Trump wins, we all hang. Clintons knew exactly the danger that Donald J. Trump represented to them. And we've seen it in our country, how they've done everything to destroy him because he was going to expose their criminal activities. It's been exposed. The Brunson brothers, through the grace of God, have managed to get their case in front of the Supreme Court of the United States. It is now the time for the people to arise and to support this cause and challenge Supreme Court to uphold their oaths of office. That will be the key point to cleaning up this mess. Does that make sense?
All right. I wanted to give the address of the Supreme Court of the United States, the number one, First Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20543. Folks, please write this down. We really need to you know, you need to write this down. You need to make copies of this. Give it to as many people as possible. Have them write a letter. And here's an example here. This letter and its context and amicus curiae is being provided in an attempt to express. I've got to change it here because I can't. I know what I'm going to do. Hang on 1 minute. I'll get this. Attempt to express our support. We are greatly concerned that the United States has been forced to experience in violations. I can't get it to fit in my. In the violation of every citizen's greatest God-given right and Republican, having our voice heard. Well, you know what? I'm having a hard time there, Tom, getting this thing to fit on my phone. Wait a minute. Okay, finally, it's starting to work. Okay, now. We have received Rule 37, which makes it perfectly clear that our presentation of this amicus curiae is restricted because we are not licensed to practice law before the court and seem to be barred from expressing our opinion in this matter. Therefore, we respectfully ask that you accept the amicus curiae and the voice of we the people in this matter, and you take a stand against the adherence of foreign domestic enemies that uphold the Supreme Court and of the land by granting the request and the above reference. So again, we need as many people to write the court in their own words, right? I mean, the court will know, look, these are the American people, and ask them to hear, just to hear the case. And, well, they're going to hear the case, right? But yes. To give us justice, right?
Exactly.
And so, and then when you send it, we have to, attention, Chief Justice John G. Roberts. Now, do we have to, you have to list every justice on this?
I think it's wise to do so that they know that we're addressing every single one of them.
Alrighty. I will get this up on our website, this letter here, so people can go to that, okay?
There you go.
I'll get it up on our website. It'll be up there tomorrow. And they can come up to wrwl.org, and they can find this on our website tomorrow, Lord's willing. And so, now, again, we have this. Let me ask you this, because what we've seen recently with this Antichrist, this anti-American, the communists, these are Antichrist communists. We heard how they wanted to intimidate. We saw Chucky Schumer giving a warning, trying to threaten the Supreme Court justices. It's a matter of having the courage. Should we keep mentioning over and over having the courage to do the right thing? Because there seems to be a dearth of courage, right?
Yes, and you know, you raise a most interesting point that really people need to pay attention to. You see, there have been threats to the Supreme Court that the liberals want to pack the court. They want to change the number on the court. They want to dilute the conservative element of that court. The Supreme Court has been under threat and attack from these very culprits that are named in this lawsuit. And this is the one opportunity that the Supreme Court has that they can say, we're not going to be pushed around by you yahoos. Now they've got some skin in the game. And so the timing of this, and I believe that it's also divine, is that the Supreme Court has been pushed about as far. I mean, for heaven's sakes, they gave out the information from private information about the courts on the Roe versus Wade. They let that leak. Interesting how that leaked, right?
Yeah.
But then we've had people picketing outside their homes. They can't even stay in their homes. They've been threatened in their own homes by the very people that are at the heart of this lawsuit. So there's a vested interest in the Supreme Court to set the rules straight and clean up the entire house.
to enforce the law, the Constitution. Yep. We got to keep that, because they don't. They're not enforcing the Constitution. But I would say, just like here, I would even quote it on the Second Kings, that the book of law, God's word, the Bible, because most of them up there claim to be Christians, but that you have God's word, the Bible. Have you not? Do you not fear Almighty God? And then the Constitution. Remember that oath, that Constitution, out there. They violated everywhere you turn. There's total lawless within the Democratic Communist Party. It's total lawlessness. And I would even mention, in fact, when I write them, I'm going to tell them that those people, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the others, they belong in that dirty, filthy jail in D.C. where they're betters, where people that they're not fit to even tie their shoelaces are. Good people, Christian people, patriot people that did their civil duty. They did what was required of them. We're to be salt and light. They went to Washington, D.C. to protest the election being stolen and their votes and their rights being violated, and these dirty corrupt, and I mean extremely corrupt, and I mean completely corrupt, so-called, what they call their select panel. They're nothing but a bunch of crooks.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So, all righty, we will put this on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So in the summation of the brief, we say this: for a society to work, the members of the society must have a common agreement between them, one which would allow for the attainment of what each individual needs physically, emotionally, intellectually, economically, and spiritually. In return, each individual is responsible to serve society to the best of that individual's talents and abilities. The principles of good business seemingly reflect a common thought that each of us must have a stewardship of responsibility, adherence to ethical standards, the creation of abundance, a pledge to do no harm, and a duty to give back to the community. Simple principles that, when followed, form the moral basis of a free society and guarantee the trust and confidence of our communities through a common acknowledgement of our expectations. Even to the casual observer, there appears to be a preponderance of evidence to show that these basic rights afforded we the people have been repeatedly violated. In the wake of the recent terrorist attacks in the United States, we are once again witnessing the impact that political correctness has had in our communities. And it is a sad reminder of Edmund Burke's warning: the only thing necessary for triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Hans Christopher Wahl tells us political correctness is a form of intimidation that coerces good people into feeling guilty and ashamed for telling the truth. With a society infected with the cancer of political correctness, the truth becomes the enemy and those telling the truth become despised. And evil triumphs. Political correctness enables lies to become truth, evil to become good, wrong to become right, and over time the unacceptable becomes acceptable. Political correctness is a subtle attack on free speech, democracy, truth, common sense, reality, and God. Because of America's political correct environment, Americans today are now fearful, watchful, and careful about what they say and do. And when it comes to spreading truth, Americans now hesitate. And as a result, good people do nothing and evil triumphs. But not today. The voice of the people is demanding to be heard on this matter. Collectively, we are speaking up and shouting, where there is smoke, there is fire. Clearly, the respondents are guilty of the crimes they are charged with, and the flagrant violations of our protected constitutional rights is glaringly apparent. Remember that Lord Acton has already reminded us that the will of the people cannot make just that which is unjust. It's time to rule in favor of the Brunsons. Justice demands it. In 1776, the people made a similar demand. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, laying its foundation on the principles and organization its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed or light and transient causes, according to the experience hath shown, that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable than to the rights of themselves of abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces the design to reduce them unto absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been patient suffrage of these colonies, and now is such the necessity which constrains them. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. But in all of this, let's remember one thing, that the greatness of America lies in her ability to repair her faults. And that's from Alexis de Tocqueville. We recognize that an amicus curiae is uncommon in these proceedings. Public opinion should play a significant role in the course of this case. Together we stand and urge the Supreme Court of the United States to rule in favor of the Brunsons and reconfirm the belief that communities are bound together by a common unity in principles, such as the principles of good business, and that good conduct is a mandatory requirement by the courts and the community at large.
Well, the fact
says the people.
Well, you know, the very fact that the Brunson brothers were, they were, you know, that they were able to get that case there. But let me ask you this: who is going to argue that case before the court? Because they're not lawyers, and I'm pretty sure
that's been under question and speculation at the moment. But we're actually really thinking that it may be the Brunson brothers themselves who may have the opportunity to argue that.
Well, I'm going to tell you. What do you think of that, John?
Well, what's interesting, Pastor Ernie, that if lawyers aren't involved, you're not bound by restrictions. Like, so someone like our speaker here and whoever else is working with him, they can say a lot of things that I think lawyers would really hesitate to say.
So, exactly, yeah, because attorneys' allegiance is not to the people, it's not the law, it's actually to the bar.
Right, right. So, you just read was so articulate, and it was weaved together so good. It was really wonderful to hear. If we could get that before the Supreme Court, you know, it's truth. Every single word is truth. And we pray that the Lord honors the truth, and then it's going to be very effective.
Yes.
That would be wonderful, but I tell you what, I can't remember any time of hearing anybody arguing a case before the court that wasn't a lawyer in modern times anyhow. And what I'm saying is not that it wouldn't be legal, but I'm just wondering with the courts, with their with the way that they do things, if they would even allow that. I don't know.
Well, and here again is one of the things that's most interesting. Because the Solicitor General waived the right for the hearing, they don't have to wait to make the ruling. They can rule just simply on what's been written without any oral arguments.
All right, very good. Hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. A lot more to go.
How still we see thee high above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shine the
We're back, and check out their name on Lake. You hung up just at the wrong time. We were just going to take your call. We're going to take some calls right now. So, Chuck, if you're out there listening, call back. Let's go to Pastor Hal.
Yeah, this is Pastor Hal. Just let me know when you want me to get the invitation. But I just want to say that Psalm 94:20 said, "Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law?" And here is showing that these corrupt Democrat politicians think that them forming a covenant with the throne of iniquity, which is the Satan's seat, it's himself, they're forming a covenant with Satan, thinking the devil's going to help them get away with all the abominations and detestable things they're going to do. And God's laughing at them, you know, like in Psalm 2. And they're all headed for hell and a rude awakening. And we, the righteous, will see that someday. And Jesus is coming back soon.
Yeah. All right, very good. Yeah, go ahead.
I just got word that the Brunson Brothers Telegram site is now officially posted a proclamation and an invitation to a day of prayer next Sunday on the 18th. And more information can be found on their Telegram site. I also just got word that Charlie Ward is going to be interviewing Lloyd Brunson tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.
All right. Very, very good. All right. We would like to do that, too. If you have contact with him, tell him I'd like to get him on Coast to Coast.
That message has been passed.
So. All right. Very good. All right. We're going to go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Yes. I got a question for Tom. When in the last election.
AC, you got to kind of speak right to the phone.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
No, just barely. Can you bring his volume up in there?
How about now?
I can hear you now. I brought your volume up here where I'm at, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. There was a group of states led by Texas before the certification, and they brought a lawsuit before the Supreme Court, and I believe that these states, even though they had good intentions and they had evidence, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Roberts or the Supreme Court told them they didn't have standing in the court. And the lawsuit never gained any traction.
That is correct.
That's correct, right?
That is correct. Now, do you know how we know that the Brunsons have standing?
Tell me.
They're already in court.
Okay. All right.
The court accepted it.
Okay.
And that's all she wrote. All right, Dickie.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's encouraging.
All right. Well, thanks, AC. Let's go to Timothy. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. I just want to concur with everything that's been said this evening. It's a long time overdue. People need to be held accountable for their wrongdoings. I'm just hoping and praying that I live to see that the righteous are vindicated for standing up for the truth. And, the Romans 1:18 verse, another Bible comes back void, so I stand on Romans 1:18. And it is the month of December, so for unto us a child is born, and you can read the rest for yourselves.
All right, very good.
They also, I wanted to say, ever since the assassination of Lincoln, they've been after us ever since then. That was the beginning of the Republican Party, and the corruption goes on and on and on. And it was Teddy Roosevelt and Eisenhower and various other people that wanted to stand up for the right thing. And I think that the accident for Patton should have been investigated, because that was a wrongful death as well. And I think they were behind that as well.
Absolutely.
All right. And the Kennedy assassination, it is the CIA. And why is Mike Pompeo not speaking up about it? Why when they questioned him, they had something on Fox today where they were...
I think it's because he's running for president. I don't know.
They invited him. It was either Tucker, I think Tucker or Hannity invited him on the show. And of all the other times, he's never come on. I mean, he's never denied them before, but he emphatically did not want to come on the show, because he's the tough questions. They don't mind the easy questions, the pats on the back and all that. But when you get down and dirty with the questions, they don't like it.
Well, and this comes back to that point about misprision of treason.
Well, our Father, our Heavenly Father, Abba, Yahweh, he knows all the secrets of everybody. And they can run, but they can't hide. And he says, vengeance is mine. So someday.
And you bring up a very interesting point.
The fear of Yahweh.
You bring up an interesting point. The Walters looking around to make sure they don't get caught. They always forget to look up.
Absolutely. All righty. Thanks, Tom. Let's go to Cliff. Cliff, you're in there.
Yeah. Hello. Hi.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to bring up, I want to ask Tom two things. I want to bring up Zechariah chapter 7, verses 10 to 12. Does he think that relates? And also, he mentioned this book. I want to just get the title again. And also, about the Clintons, and say, for example, of Fauci. I just think it's incredible that these people have such longevity. You know, like, you look at Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas in, like, 79 to 81, you know, looking it up now, and, you know, he had the boys on the track and those scandals, and he's still around and was hanging out with this guy with the cryptocurrency scandal. So it's like they're a magnet, you know.
All right, very good. Well, your question about Zechariah, you know, chapter 11, verse 10 and 12.
No, chapter 7, verses 10 to 12.
Okay, well, it's funny because the one in verse 11 really applies, and I got there by accident, I guess. Then let me see.
Yeah, 11 would be good, you know, whatever you have, yeah. 11 would, if you have that. You
well, and like verses 10 and 12, okay, here. God just wants his people to reflect his justice, is what he's telling you there in that. Here, one, he wants you to be honest. He wants you to be fair. He don't want you to take bribes. He wants you to be merciful and kind. That's virtually what that's saying there. And so here, I'll just read it. Let me see here. Let me get over here. And oppress not the widow, neither the father, nor the stranger, nor the poor, nor let none of you imagine evil against his brother in his heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away in his shoulder and stopped their ears, and they should not hear. That's exactly what's happening here in America. This is why I'm saying woke. Woke is just like what the teachings of Moloch and Baal. But we have to move on. So let's go to Ed. You're in the air.
How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing okay. We're doing rapid calls here because the whole board's lit.
That's fine with me if you can deal with it. Quick comment and question. There's legal and there's lawful. There's God's law that is absolute. There's legal, which is anything like being made up out of thin air, like baby killing and everything in between. So how do you and your guests reconcile that with having any hope of dealing with it in the court system that basically make up the rules as they go?
Well, you see, God doesn't have a problem with the change in the court system. He makes it very simple when he tells you, 2 Chronicles 7:14, he tells you what we have to do. If the people will believe what God tells them and do it, he will change that. God doesn't have a problem with that court system. He can... you know, he can break them down.
That ain't going to happen.
Well, you don't know if it's not going to happen or not, you know?
So can I give you a little teaser?
Sure, go ahead.
The Brunson case is prime because we know how they got there.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm working on another one that's coming right behind it, and it blows the court systems completely apart. That's about all I can tell you at the moment.
All righty. Well, again, the judicial system has become so corrupt. You know, I had mentioned what I read over there. Listen to this, okay? This is Zechariah 11, verse 10. And I took my staff, even beauty, and I cut it asunder, that it might break my covenant which I made with all the people. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price. And if not, forbear. And they weighed for my price their pieces of silver. He's making a point here because Israel had rejected the good shepherd. You know, God broke, the covenant he made with them there. And so to pay the shepherd 30 pieces of silver was an insult. You know, this is remembering, of course, where does that apply to? That applies to the Lord himself.
Absolutely.
And so here, again, we're seeing the corruption we're seeing in the courtroom. And you know who is responsible for it? It starts, the Bible says the judgment begins in the house of the God, and it starts in the pulpit. The pastors have not had the courage. There's been an extreme dearth of courage for the pastors. And listen, The pastors have an obligation to stand up and out the wicked. They have an obligation. You see, it works this way. God has expectations of us. We have obligations to him. And in the days of old, like when Peter ousted Ananias and Sapphira, when John the Baptist outed Herod, okay, there's a few of us, only a handful of us, but here, especially every nationally known pastor out there that's on the radio has an obligation. But if they only had the courage, they just simply don't have the courage to do what they should do, and that is stand up and out these people. To say, Joe Biden, what you're doing is a sin. Abortion is murder. You're sinning against God, Joe Biden. Sodomy is an abomination, Joe Biden. Pedophilia, Joe Biden, is a horrible, horrible crime. You need to repent of that, Joe Biden, or burn. That's what the pastors need to do if they only had the courage to do it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and not just the pastors. All of us. All of us need that courage.
Well, we all need the courage, but it's the pastor's job to do that, and people need to, and if the pastors had the courage, their people would follow them.
Exactly.
You know, the church that I pastor, the people in there, they will follow my lead. And they do it because they know that I'm getting it right from the Word of God. All righty, let's go to Bill in New Jersey. Bill, you're in the air.
Thank you so much, Pastor Ernie. I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You too.
Also about the JFK papers. I know this from the inside because I was on my way to Quantico back in 79, and I say that I changed my mind and stayed as a teacher. Anyway, those papers are not going to come, the real ones are not going to come out till 2053 because Oswald was a triple agent for the CIA, and he turned rogue. It was triple shooting, and the mob could never, they hired the shooters, but they could never, plan it. The other thing is, somebody mentioned the last time I was on about heretic. That was a term used by the Protestant during the Protestant Reformation in the 1600s. I am by no means a heretic. I'm a follower, I'm a believer, and I believe I'm saved, and I want everybody to be saved. And also, I think you could have a wider audience than this. By no means, I'm telling you, I have a great, great respect for you, Pastor Ernie, but I think you will have a wider audience if you tone down a little bit the rhetoric. And also, the Book of Job is a metaphor. Job, he got back his property. He got back his children.
Okay, let me just tell you what you're talking about. The inflammatory rhetoric is passion. It's I believe what I'm telling you. Now, if you think that my rhetoric is strong preaching, you ought to heard of what Jesus. If you were there when the Lord Jesus was preaching, or John the Baptist, or Peter, then you would hear some strong rhetoric. We got to move on. Let's go to, yeah, well, I don't know. I don't remember mentioning it. Somebody else did. Oh, I think it's DeLoria. Hold on just a minute. I do have that somewhere. That here. That's it. It's D. Lorio. D. Lorio. D. I. L. A. U. R. O. That's the what I got. Yeah. That's their house that burnt down. Okay. All right. We're out of time. So it's Pastor Hal. It's time for you to. But one more time again. Tom, give the folks your website so they can go up to your website.
Go to cedarhillcitizens.org, and you can follow the Brunson case there. You can also see the Brunson brothers on their Telegram channel. And somebody asked about the name of my book. It's American Crossroads of Trust. It's at real-lifeuniversity.com. And I also have another book there that's for free. It's called The Tale of Two Nations, A Nation Divided. It was a book that Amazon shadow banned me on because there's too much truth in it.
Well, we're out of time for tonight, so Tom, thanks for being here. Pastor Hal, give the invitation.
How long do I have?
You got about 3 minutes, so.
Okay. I just want to say that because of apostasy in the pulpits, apathy in the pews, we have anarchy in our politics and in our streets. And it's the fault of the Christians who don't repent and get other people to repent. The Bible says without repentance, there's not going to be any salvation for us. That was Jeremiah and everybody else said that. But right now, the worst thing that could happen to you is if you die tonight and go to hell. John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you've ever done. But that payment don't become yours automatically. You've got to repent, which means tell God you're sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and ask Jesus to come into your heart. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, not just know about him, but receive him. And how do you receive him? Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, I don't care if you're the best Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, or whatever that ever lived. One sin to keep you out of heaven, and you sin every day of your life in thought, word, or deed. But the Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood. It's his blood that washes away your sins, not your good works or some priest walking around with a woman's dress on, giving you absolution or anything else like that. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and that takes place the moment you come to God as a guilty sinner, repenting about the fact of your sins, and trust in Jesus and him only for your salvation. And if you want to do that tonight, I'd like to lead you in the prayer of faith. Romans 10:13 said, for whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Call means to pray. Let's pray together, and you mean it with all your heart, okay? Dear God, I confess unto you that I'm a sinner, and I need your salvation. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your precious blood for my salvation to wash away my sins. And right now, right here and now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of all my sins, and save my soul, because I'm trusting you and you only for my eternal salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed amen. That prayer, 1 John 5:13 says that these things have been written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not think it, wish it, hope for it, but know, because God made you a promise and he cannot lie. Go ahead, Pastor.
All right, very much. How much time do I have here? Okay, very good. Very quickly, I just want to say, Tom, thanks for being here tonight. We are out of time. I want to get back with you, and we want to continue doing this. And I want to wish everybody out there listening a very, very Merry Christmas. May this be your best Christmas ever. And until tomorrow, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, let's do it. Keep
fighting
the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.